I'm Rick.
And I'm Danny from the Hail Meng Power Hour.
And you are listening to the MacNez Podcast.
Yeah, 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 yeah!
What's up, guys? Welcome to the show, MacNez Podcast, episode 101. You just heard episode 100 not too long ago, and I got special guests. I had guests on the other one, but I got another one right here. It's my brother from up north, Brian from The Horror Returns. What's going on, dude?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me on.
Not much, man. Just same old. But questions before we roll into this. You've been a listener to the show, MacNez, and all the other craziness that I do with everybody else. What have you thought so far as a listener? Before I got to know you, were you listening to all the nonsense I was jabbering on about?
A little bit. I got put on by Lance, you know, and once I started listening, man, I just became a loyal listener, man. With all your shows that you put on, man, just countless hours of entertainment, man, and congratulations on hitting that milestone of 100.
Yeah, man, thanks, dude. As well as you guys, and was I on that one? I don't remember.
You've been on so many times.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Always good to go on the show. Everyone, you know, I've hyped it up over and over and over. Horror Returns, everyone, check them out. But we are here for the 1977 classic. Yeah, I've done this show before. Some of you listeners, hey, didn't you do this already? Yeah, I did do it already. But this is the 41st anniversary of, is it 41? Yeah, 41 years. Damn, I'm old. I'm old grandpa now, so my memory isn't the best, as well as my eyes. But yeah, the 1977 action horror mystery, yeah, okay, I'd call it that. The Car.
Evil has visited the earth in many forms. Now it returns as the Car.
There was no driver in the car.
A car possessed.
I know why he didn't go into the cemetery. The ground was hallowed.
Nothing can stop the car.
This is Wade. We can't let him through no matter what.
Stay in close. You'll have to stop.
There's nowhere to turn.
The car, he's in here.
Nowhere to hide. No way to stop the car.
I think I hear the engine of that car. It's around here somewhere. Wait, I'm scared. No, I promise you I won't go out. Tell me what to do, baby.
What evil force drives the car?
You guys have all known my story on this. I've seen this a jillion times. Directed by Elliot Silverstein. Mysterious black sleek automobile terrorizes everyone, and it comes in everyone it comes into contact with in a small town in Utah. The local sheriff may be the only person who can stop this menace, which has been possessed by pure evil. The reason I have Brian on the show today, you just watched this, right?
Yes.
All right. This was his first time watch, and you know me, I've seen it a billion times. Like I said, what did you think of it? I mean, and before that, I mean, have you even heard of this movie?
I probably have heard it, but I had to watch it when you brought it up. I believe it was in a. Did you bring it up during your top 10 horror movies?
I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did.
Okay. So when you brought that up in your top 10, I was like, okay, I need to watch this. So I tracked it down. And when I watched it, I for sure never seen it before. And I thought this movie was awesome. The car was badass. And just to get right down to it, the things I really, really enjoyed about the movie is in the beginning, you didn't even really get to see the car. You just got glimpses and you just heard that engine revving and you heard that horn. That horn was crazy because you wouldn't even think it was a car. You thought it was like a semi truck coming. And yeah, this movie was badass. And I can't believe it's been 41 years and I have not even seen this movie. And I completely thank you for this recommendation.
Right on, man. This was a movie my mom took my brother and I to see when we were kids. And I didn't know nothing about it. I mean, this came out May 13th, like a week or so before Star Wars, the original Star Wars, before it turned into A New Hope Episode 4. And it was big at the time. I remember seeing it in the theater, and I saw it a few times in the theater as well as in the drive-in. But then once Star Wars came out, man, I just kind of shoved this to the back of the list. And I mean, pretty much everything that came out in 77 right after Star Wars was just, I couldn't even tell you what that was. I mean, Star Wars was such a big hit. Yeah, we just had Solo this past weekend. I don't know when I'm putting this out, but yeah. Anyway, but I was always just like, oh my God, I was blown away by what it was. And yeah, like you said, in the very beginning, you just see the tires and maybe hear the horn and the revving of the engine. You don't really see it. And then when you finally do see what the whole car looks like, probably halfway through the film, you're kind of like, whoa, that's it. As a little kid, I mean, I loved playing with Hot Wheels and everything. Mm-hmm. I would find the closest thing I could, I had a black car, or I would even just go as far as getting I don't know if it was Sharpie back then, but a black marker and just making whatever Hot Wheel I had the closest I could, just paint it all black, and I would play. That was the car, and crashing into everything. Later on in the 90s, they came out with a die-cast a car, which I cannot even get a hold of now because it's like $200 if you look for it on eBay. I saw it once in Toys R Us, but I was in between jobs, and I was like, I don't know if I can have, I don't have the extra to blow. It was only $20, and yeah, that's not much, mm-hmm. but I was just, that $20, I could have done something else, but I kicking myself. I should have just bought it, and
yeah.
Oh, man, but this film was awesome. I mean, I loved it. When I saw it in the drive-in, I saw it with a double feature with Jaws, and
oh wow,
that was even awesome. I mean, just to see, I mean, it's kind of like, well, almost the same thing. Jaws is in the water and we got Carr mm-hmm. on land, and it was same thing. It was running around just killing everybody. But what did you think of the acting? I mean, we did have some star power in this, man. We had James Brolin and Kathleen Lloyd, R.G. Armstrong, and the great Ronnie Cox. And even the Richards sisters, they were much younger. You had Kim and Kyle, for you, was it Housewives of Beverly Hills? One of those shows. Sorry. I know I do watch those shows, but I blame my friend for getting me hooked on that. Kyle Richards is my favorite housewife. But anyway, what did you think of all the acting in this film?
I thought the acting was great. They portrayed it in the story. Like one of the other things I really enjoyed about the movie was kind of like the little side stories you were getting, like Ronnie Cox's drinking that he was hiding. The sheriff's relationship with the woman that was getting abused by her husband. It just gave you a lot of background, enough background to care about each character. And I thought James Brolin was badass in this movie. Yeah, I thought that all around, I thought the acting was great.
Story wise, what did you think of it? Because I remember as a little kid, when I first see this, I just wanted to see violence on the screen. This movie was PG, but as a little 6-year old watching this, I couldn't believe cars running over people.
I can imagine, especially I'm jumping all the way to the scene where James Brolin's girlfriend gets killed, because that kind of shocked me just the way it went. That car just flying through that entire house and taking her out. I was not expecting that. And it was crazy. And that's for me watching a movie that's 41 years old. I was just like, whoa.
Speaking of that scene, I mean, at the time as a little kid, you're not thinking of it. You're just, oh, my God, the car just jumped through somebody's house. But right now, as two fathers watching this, you're like, I don't know if I would want to live in that house, because maybe something like this would happen. Not as far as a devil car coming at you, but a car drive. It seemed like that house was built in the middle of a street, because when the car drives through the front living room and out the back, there's a road and it just goes.
And I don't know if I caught this. Did people actually get run over by horses in the one scene?
They were saying one of the stuntmen did get trampled on. Not he wasn't like seriously injured, but they said during that, because there was so, I mean, if you're watching the film, there's a scene where the car comes and the horses get all spooked out and they fall. Or the riders fall off the horses. There's one scene where it looks like that there's like a stampede of horses go running through, and one of the characters in the film, a stuntman, gets hit by the horses. And I'll give it to whoever that stuntman was, man. That really did look like it just, the whole stampede just ran over him.
Yeah, it hurt me just watching it, because I was like, oh my gosh, I seen it like in the background. I was like, he just ran right into a horse and got trampled. I was like, whoa.
I can't remember how many cars they had. I know they had one that went one of the cars that were just sitting there. Then they had the ones that were action, and the ones that they destroyed with the scene of which is probably my favorite scene in the whole film. We got the car coming at two squad cars, two sheriff cars, and it just turns and just makes like a hard left, right, whatever, and just starts to do a roll and just rolls right over the squad cars, and then just gets back on all four tires and tears off into the night. But I thought that stunt was awesome. And right now I'm thinking like, wow, I mean, this is in the all or nothing days. I mean, there's no no CGI, no nothing. This is just stunt drivers doing this. Like, there was a little scene where it did look like it was kind of like models, but I just thought that was an amazing scene to just making this awesome car and then just destroying it whenever they could, as well as the one that they shot off a cliff at the end. They said they had to put that like on a catapult to shoot it off.
And
I'm sure they only had one take, so they had to hopefully make it look good. And it looks cheesy now, but for 1977, I thought they did an awesome job with this. But the whole car is a character itself. I want to say it was I should have did a little more research on this. I want to say it was like a Lincoln Continental or something like that. I don't know. So one of you guys are probably yelling at me on what the car was, but you can go online. There's an actual car website. I think it's a fan page, and they show stills of whoever made this car. They basically just cut it up and just added the whole front and the sides and just made it look awesome. I think as a little kid, this is probably the first car that I ever see that didn't have a door handle. Because you get that, that scene with Josh Brolin, not Thanos, his dad, James Brolin. the scene when they kind of have a little standoff, and then when he reaches for the door handle and it's not there. I just thought, wow. I mean, just a little kid. And even now, I watched this right before we're talking about this, and I love this film. I mean, it's such a film work with cinematography, because they were out in Utah filming it. I have had a guest, an interview with Geraldine Keams, which you guys are going to hear in a minute. I got a hold, reached out to her. She was the Navajo, the native woman that was in this. She was the phone operator. I think that's what you call it. She's a same tribe as me. She's Navajo, from the Navajo Nation. And I reached out to her and she gave me a few minutes, which I thought was amazing. And we do talk a little, we talk about the car, and I can't remember else what we talked about, but, it was cool to see that, to see native actors in this film, and the little bit that she told me, which I thought was awesome. I never thought I'd ever be able to talk to someone that was in a movie that I love so much, man. But the ending, what did you think about the whole, I mean, just basically the whole ending, what did you think of it?
I love the whole setup where they just basically exploded the whole mountainside and buried the car. But the one thing I really enjoyed was the reaction of what they saw come out the flames. Because Ronnie Cox was like, did you see that? You all saw that. And James Brolin was just basically like, it's over. Basically trying to be in denial of what he's seen. He was like, no, it's over. He just kept cutting. No, it's over. We didn't see anything.
Yeah, I was always kind of hoping as this little kid, and not so much right now, but is there going to be a part two? Because, and what was it? Was it a, was it the devil driving it or some kind of evil spirit? Because what I saw, as well as all them and you, everybody that's seen this movie, the flame, it looks cheesy now, but 1977, as a little 6-year old watching this, I was blown away. Like, oh my God, seeing this, I thought it was a devil. Right now, I'm not sure. It was just some kind of spirit, that was driving the car, but just seeing that in the fire, and I was just blown away by it. I don't know how they did it, because there was no CGI or anything back then, but just the 70s visual effects, man, I love all that. But it was just awesome to see that. And then it just gave me so many questions. A good friend of mine, Mike, we always talk about this, and he's a director. And we always kid around. He goes, I want to remake the car. And when we sit down and think about it, like, where would you get the money to remake that? And, you know, it's going to be millions of dollars, because plus I'm sure CGI would be involved to solve it. I don't know. I mean, it's a dream that Mike has, but just this film in a whole is a timeless classic. I don't know. I would consider it a cult classic, but there is some horror fans out there that never even heard of this. I mean, if I didn't mention it, have you even heard of this film?
I want to say yes, but after watching it, no, this probably would have just flew under the radar for me, but I'm so glad. If anybody heard my last show where I purchased Ice Pirates as we were reviewing, yeah, after I watched this, I immediately bought the Blu-ray off of Amazon, because that's how much I enjoyed this movie. And I just, like I said earlier, I can't believe it went this long without me even watching this movie.
I know. I mean, for you listeners that know Brian from the shows, this guy watches everything, and I was kind of shocked that you didn't know nothing about this film. And but I'm dude, I'm stoked now that you liked it that much to where you bought the Blu-ray. Like I said, I was a huge fan of this when I first seen this. I have the VHS tape, I have the DVD, and I have the Blu-ray. I don't really like the cover so much, but I just have to have this in my collection. And VHS is pretty much dead and gone, but this is something that I have to keep on the shelf. I mean, all three of them next to each other. And I just, I love this film so much. But before we get into a little bit more, I know we're running out of time because I got to get to work. But like I said, I interviewed Geraldine Keams, and she gave me an awesome quick interview. Geraldine, thank you so much. I owe you big time. Whenever I'm down in the area, we'll hook up, and hopefully I can get her back on the show again. But without further ado, everyone, Geraldine Keams from The Car.
Okay, what happened?
How should think?
They could go na Nashville. They who gonna to Elwood? Ever yiki to Elwood?
You swear around Clemens, and then hit Ed.
Iggy Achan, yes, ta. Hatsi di. Best be, hosen, sha acheni ka yo go net edge.
What did she say?
She's no woman. Indian top. It doesn't matter.
What did she say, Chaz?
Moccasin Tiger says bad things are coming with the wind.
Wade, there's something I want to tell you about last night. Well, the old lady, well, Chaz, he didn't translate everything that she said.
What do you mean?
Well, she said there was no driver in the car.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Like I said, I got a very special guest right here. We got a Miss Geraldine Keams from the Navajo Nation, like me, like you guys all know. And good morning, Miss Keams. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for doing this. I was just talking to my engineer here, and I was just like, I'm nervous, and I don't know how am I going to get this going, but, So yeah, we're just going to be really quick. Getting into, the whole, acting, how did that come along? Was this something that you wanted to do, or is it just something you fell into?
Well, I started performing when I was in boarding school. So we would write our own plays and produce our own plays and stage them for the kids. And that's kind of how I got bitten by the bug. And that just sort of stayed with me throughout my life, my youth, and on into college, where I studied theater. Then I went to New York City and did plays there off-Broadway and off-Broadway. And then I ended up in films, and that brought me to Los Angeles, where I, you know, worked for quite a bit in the film business I see myself as a supporting character. Character bit parts, as they call it. And I've been doing that, and I'm still doing that. And, just anything that has to do with communicating with your audience, and, everybody has a story to tell, and we're all telling our own stories.
Well, that's good. The movie that I want to talk to you and we started this interview was a film that I first seen you in was 1977, The Car, directed by Elliot Silverstein. This was a film that I had no idea what it was. My mom loved to take me and my older brother to the movies, and this was one of them. And she knew that we liked horror movies. And she was like, well, I'll just take them to see this, and had no idea what it was going to be, and had no idea that there was Navajo actors or Navajo characters in this. And because I was sitting there during the scene with what was the young other lady's name, Margaret Willie, during that scene, I was like, whoa. But then my mom was telling me that, she goes, I think she's trying to speak Navajo, but I'm not too sure. Geraldine's character, she is Donna, and you were the sheriff's operator, or was that?
Yeah, the dispatcher in the police station.
Okay.
And I worked in the police station.
How did you come across this project?
Well, I had just finished Outlaw Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood, and I was offered this part. I didn't have to audition. They just asked me if I wanted it. And I said yes. And I ended up actually at Universal Studios here in Los Angeles. So all the interiors were shot at Universal. All the exteriors were shot out by Blanding, Utah. So I never was out in Blanding, Utah. I just stayed here at Universal in the studio. All the inside shots, the police station, the homes, the jails, all of those scenes were in the studio.
Okay, I did not know that. I thought it was all shot in Utah. Because my next question I was going to ask, did you actually see the car that they were using? Because I know they built quite a few of them just for mainly the stunts and everything. Were you able to actually see it in person?
Yeah, I actually saw it at Universal Studios, because they would. It was actually a Lincoln Continental that was dressed out. And so I think they had about five of them. And they would bang it up, and then they would send it back, and they would get it all fixed up again for the next stuff, the next piece of film they had to do with the car. So it was a tricked out car, and really nicely done. And, one of the guys that took care of it was saying, oh, yeah, it costs like $60,000 every time it gets banged up and it has to get redone.
Did you get to sit in any of them? Or?
No, I didn't get to sit in any of the cars. They were all blacked out windows, and the insides were kind of empty because the cameras, they would have cameras from the inside of the car. So, all they had was a driver's seat. So it was kind of just a shell of a car.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other Native actors, we had Eddie Little Sky and Henry O'Brien, as well as Margaret Willie. I know, Margaret, you said was Lakota,
yeah.
And Eddie is from the Ho-Chunk Nation. Henry O'Brien, do you know what tribe he was?
I think he was from Oklahoma. I'm not quite sure what tribe he was, but Eddie and Henry came out on the relocation program to Los Angeles in the 50s, 60s, and so they stayed and got into film work, and they did a lot of stunt work and got little parts here and there. And so they had those roles as the other policemen. Margaret Willie, I don't know how she came to Los Angeles, but she got into acting as well, doing commercials and little parts here and there, and she got that role. And I basically taught her part, which she was doing really well. And then when she got on camera, she lost it all. She got so nervous. that she lost all her lines, and we even had cheat cards for her to read, look off the camera to see the lines in front of her, but she just, you know, she did what she could, but I had rehearsed with her for a couple of days, and she had all the lines down. First of all, we had to cut the dialogue because they didn't understand that, you know, when you say a whole sentence in Navajo, can be quite difficult, quite a mouthful. So we had to just cut it down to, you know, I can't remember exactly what the dialogue was, but so we would just cut it down to like something like that, you know, kind of just cutting it to the essence of the message and the dialogue. And then when we went on camera, I just went out, you know, she forgot everything. So, as you can see, as a result, you look at it and you go, well, I think she's trying to talk Navajo.
Yeah, that's what my mom was saying. And when my dad, he saw it again later, he was like, I think she was trying to say this.
Well, that's right. When you're, you know, an authentic speaker and listener, you can hear some of the words like chid and that kind of thing. So she was trying to get the essence, and they didn't have time to really spend a lot on getting it right. So yeah, we just had to live with it.
Yeah, because when I show my friends this film that didn't see it back in 77, they're like, well, what is she saying? And then I can understand Navajo more than I could speak it. Manalian, my Shmasana, they taught me what they could, as well as my parents. I blame my mom and dad for not teaching us constantly. So, but my mom and dad are fluent. They moved back. They retired from where they were living in the Bay Area, and they retired and they moved back home. They actually live in Indian Wells, where my my mom's mother lives. And so it's good to go home. I mean, I consider Oakland is where I'm from. I consider Oakland my home, but it always is good to go back to the motherland and just to breathe, because the air is so much cleaner out there than in the big city.
It's quiet too.
Yes, it is. Last question about the car. It was for us Navajos, for you non-Navajo listeners. With the subject matter in this, dealing with evil spirits, my mom was kind of iffy about it once she realized what this movie was about, and she did explain to us. And it says it in the film about, like Chaz says, bad things coming in the wind. I know you mentioned that on the 40th anniversary Blu-ray that is out right now. Awesome interview. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. And can you just touch on that really quick, on what was your thoughts of finding out that there was a demon sense in the car?
Well, when I first read the script, I was a little bit, I didn't know whether I wanted to do something like that, because my grandmother used to say, you know, when you talk about things like that, or you can conjure it up, or you could wake it up, that sort of that evil that's in the air, that negative energy, you can, you know, call it out. So I thought about it, but then I saw the people that were involved, you know, James Brolin and Silverstein, and a lot of great, John Marley, Roy Armstrong, a lot of really good character actors that I really enjoyed all the works from early back, you know, from way back. And some of these people are real pros. And so, and it was a big production. It was a Universal production. So, I decided to go ahead and do it. So I think that message of of things in the wind and some things we cannot explain with our, you know, with our intellect. It goes beyond the intellect and what we think we know. And it goes beyond that. It's something unexplainable. And sometimes it comes out to attack us. And you know, people still don't know what that is. I mean, science doesn't know what it is. And it's something that we all have to live with. We all have our ways of dealing with it. You know, some people go to church and some people have ceremonies and some people, you know, have their own way of healing or dissipating this negative energy. And so that's my thought on it. I mean, the film itself, my final thought was it's a film. It's a film. That's what I thought. I just thought it's a film. I don't know of a car that's running around out there with evil spirits and killing people. although that might actually, you know, put some of these Navajo witchcraft stories that I've heard, you know, where they, I've heard of stories where they send cars out, but I don't know about that. They're called ghost cars. So, and it's pretty scary when you hear about this, that there are such things, but I've heard that that is really a possibility out there. So we don't know. We can't explain it with our brains. It goes beyond our brains.
Yes, it does. Hearing stories growing up, I will scare the pants off of you listeners, and I'm sure you've heard your share as well. But Geraldine, thank you so much for doing this interview. But before we go, what clan are you?
I am Sinajini, and I'm born for Tlazasana. And my grandmothers are Tchitchi, and my grandfathers are Totsohti. So my clans.
I know my mother's and my father's, Twitichitni from my mother's side and Ushi from my father. And it was always, it was always good to know that. Cause sometimes when I ask people, what are your clan? And they have no idea, but my parents always, told us that and who we are and where we're from. But, again, Geraldine, thank you so much. Oh, one last question. Answer it really. You can answer it like in one word. How awesome is Clint Eastwood?
Very awesome. Keywords.
Thank you so much. He's like my all-time favorite since I've been a kid, thanks to my dad. But again, Geraldine, thank you so much for doing this. And you are welcome to come on again whenever. And we'll work something out and sit around and talk about more stories when you have more time. So thank you so much, man. I know for myself and my listeners, this is an honor for you to come on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Again, thank you so much, Geraldine, for doing that interview. And I couldn't believe I got to talk to her. Jesse was there. You don't hear him in the interview, but he was my engineer. He was also recording backup just in case my recording didn't work out so good. But is there anything else you'd like to say, Brian, about the car?
If you haven't watched it, find some way to watch it. If not, pick up the Blu-ray, DVD, whatever you can. It's an awesome movie.
And it's out there. So, hey, Brian, man, dude, thank you so much for coming on. And I just love talking about the car. So
thanks for having me on.
It was good to get a first timer as opinion on this. I tried to get my kids to watch it. My oldest son watched it and he liked it, but my little guy, he's just kind of like, yeah, okay. What's scary about a car? I'm like, come on. But that's today's kids with their Nintendo, not Nintendos, their Xboxes and their phones and everything else, man. They're just fascinated by watching this is what I don't get. My son will sit there for hours and watch somebody play a video game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old grandpa in me, I guess. But hey, Brian, I'm sure everybody already knows, but where can everyone hear your show?
You can hear us on iTunes and Podbean. And if you want to get a hold of us, just type in the Horror Returns on anything that has to do with social media, or you can reach us at our email account at thehorrorreturns@gmail.com.
Right on, dude. Hey, everybody. Yes. Check out The Horror Returns. Awesome show. I don't know how many times I've been on it. These are my brothers. I love them. And that's going to be it this episode. It's a quick one for you guys. Not like the last one. I don't even know how long that one was. But again, Brian, you're always welcome to come on here. I mean, we don't have to talk about movies. We can talk about whatever. If you come up with a topic, and we'll just press record and go. But
awesome.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Everyone that's been here from the beginning. I also got to thank my brother Steve. You know this. I always talk about you, dude. Even though you talk shit all the time to all of us, everybody that knows Steve, but he's an awesome guy, everybody. But hey, everyone, until next time, you guys all take care. Crazy world going on we have. And all you got to do is be safe, be strong, rock hard, and skate fast.
Yeah.